Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass by Reverend David Inglesma. Premillennialism, Part 2. Orientation, Part 2. Quote, Jesus only knows of two ages, the present and the future ages. In the present age, his disciples cannot expect anything other than oppression and persecution, and must forsake all things for his sake. Jesus nowhere predicts a glorious future on earth before the end of the world. Only in the age to come will his disciples receive everything back along with eternal life. Unquote. Quote, nowhere in the New Testament is there a ray of hope that the Church of Christ will again come to power and dominion on earth. It is a constant New Testament expectation that to the extent to which the gospel of the cross is spread abroad, to that extent the hostility of the world will be manifested as well. Unquote. Quote, not only did Jesus not expect anything from the Jews in the present, in the future also he expected nothing for them. Unquote. Herman Bavinck, Reformed Dogmatics. What premillennialism is. By premillennialism is meant the teaching about the last days, the end of the world, that holds that there will be a millennium, a literal thousand-year period of earthly peace, prosperity, and power for the Jews, the earthly nation of Israel, which has been restored as the kingdom of God on earth. The establishment of this earthly kingdom, centered in the city of Jerusalem, in the geographical region of Palestine, is, in fact, the goal of God with history. Premillennialist Charles C. Ryrie has written, concerning the goal of history, dispensationalists find it in the establishment of the millennial kingdom of the Jews on earth. Alva J. McLean agrees. Quote, the great purpose of his second advent will be to establish the earthly kingdom of physical Jews and national Israel on earth. Unquote. Because the Greek term for thousand is chilios, the teaching of a coming millennium of Jewish glory is also known as chiliosm. In order to establish this earthly kingdom within history, Jesus Christ will come again in the body visibly. This second coming will be before or pre the millennium. For 1,000 years, a millennium, this earthly Jewish kingdom will prevail, with King Jesus ensconced on a material throne in Jerusalem. Premillennialist John F. Walvoord has accurately and authoritatively expressed this expectation of premillennialism in these words, quote, the future glorious return of Christ to the earth is the occasion for the deliverance and judgment of Israel, the Jews as an earthly nation, and the inauguration of the kingdom of righteousness on earth. The curse of sin is lifted from the material world. Righteousness, peace, and prosperity become the rule. Jerusalem becomes the capital for the whole world. The kingdom continues for 1,000 years. Unquote. That this millennial kingdom is of, by, and for the Jews, a Jewish dominion, Walvoord also makes plain. He describes the millennial kingdom as concerning Israel. He adds that the explanation of the coming millennial kingdom is that God has promised Israel a glorious future, and this will be fulfilled after the second advent. Israel will be a glorious nation, protected from her enemies, exalted above the Gentiles, and the central vehicle of the manifestation of God's grace in the millennial kingdom. He acknowledges, in conclusion, that the doctrine of Israel remains one of the central features of premillennialism. Israel, as a nation, will be exalted. During the millennium, there will be a literal reign of Christ upon the earth. Of central importance in the life of the millennial kingdom is the fact that Christ in his glorious person will be present and visible in the world during this period. The glorious presence of Christ in the millennial scene is, of course, the center of worship and spirituality. At the end of the 1,000 years, so goes the premillennial fancy, Satan will unite multitudes of wicked everywhere in the world to revolt against Jesus and his earthly dominion. With their physical weaponry, they will attack King Jesus and his Jewish world power. Defending himself against these foes, Jesus will conquer. This victory will signal the end of history. Then will take place the final judgment and the onset of eternity. With this teaching that at the end of the millennium, the wicked will dare to attack the risen, glorified, and awesome Jesus Christ, present on earth in his glorified body and attended by more than 12 legions of angels, Matthew 26, verse 53, and that with physical arms, premillennialism has plumbed the depths of religious absurdity and has very likely distinguished itself as propounding the most ridiculous idea ever put forward in all the long history of theological foolishness. Christ will be ruling, yet at the end of the period enough rebels will be found to make a formidable army which will dare to attack the seat of government, that is, the risen, glorious, awesome Jesus Christ himself. Ryrie's formidable army will not be fighting the Lord with false doctrine, but with physical arms. At the end, Jesus will divide the eternal realm into two parts and himself into two parties. Heaven will become the everlasting abode of the church with Jesus as head. The earth will become the home of the Jews of Israel, over which Jesus will reign as king. Jesus evidently will be kept busy traveling back and forth from and to his two domains and adapting himself to his two distinct roles, King of Israel and head of the church. On the thinking of premillennialism, which favors the Jews, the church will get the short end of the stick. Basic to all this absurdity is the exotic premillennial rapture. Before Jesus can get back to the all-important, divine work of making physical, national Israel the kingdom of God and establishing the millennium for the Jews, the main work of God in history, and a work that was unfortunately delayed by the Jews' rejection of Jesus as their king at his first coming, Jesus must get the church out of the way. He will do this, according to premillennialism, by the secret rapture. This rapture will be Jesus taking the elect church of true believers off the earth into heaven. Involved will be the resurrection of the believers who have died prior to the rapture. The rapture will include the first of two or more resurrections, posited by premillennialism, in total disregard of Jesus' own teaching of one resurrection at his one bodily coming. The hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5, verse 28 and 29. H. A. Ironside spoke for all premillennialists, moderates as well as radicals, when he taught that at any moment now the Lord may descend from heaven to raise the dead and change the living, and then will come the dark days predicted in both testaments for apostate Israel and apostate Christendom. This imminent event, according to Ironside, will be the rapture which precedes the great tribulation. And this rapture is the blessed hope of the church. The church is to live in daily expectation of this event. Inasmuch as the premillennial rapture is sheer fiction and, what is worse, false doctrine, all premillennialists entertain a vain hope. They do not live in the blessed hope of the second coming of Christ, after the great tribulation and at the very end of history. Looking for the blessed hope, rightly understood as the one glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ at the very end of history, perfecting the salvation of the one people of God, and finally realizing the messianic kingdom of God. And finally realizing the messianic kingdom of God in all the new creation, is essential to living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2 verse 12 and 13. In view of this fundamental importance of looking for the blessed hope, the sin of the premillennialists is no minor matter. Upon rapturing the church, premillennialism teaches Jesus will deal once again, on God's behalf, with national earthly Israel. He will attempt once again, this time successfully, to make the Jews the willing, obedient citizens of the kingdom of God, thus forming the Jews into God's carnal kingdom in the world. He will establish the Jews as the holy nation and kingdom of God on earth. This work of Jesus upon Israel will last for 7 years. The period of 7 years is derived from premillennialism's atrocious interpretation of the 70 weeks of Daniel 9, about which more later. Accomplishing the re-establishment of Israel as God's earthly kingdom will involve the rise and raging of Antichrist. During the 7 years between the rapture of the church out of the world and yet another coming of Jesus, this time in order to set up his carnal kingdom in Jerusalem, Antichrist will persecute the Jews, according to premillennialism. Antichrist will not persecute the church, for the church will be in the air, having been raptured. The great tribulation of Scripture, see Matthew 24, verse 21, will not afflict or affect the church. This is yet another grievous error of premillennialism. Premillennialism renders the church unprepared for the great tribulation that is coming under Antichrist upon the church. According to premillennialism, the tribulation will fall on the Jews. By this tribulation, the vast majority of Jews will repent and turn to God in faith, so as to become again His kingdom. Here again the utter foolishness of premillennialism is evident. What Jesus Christ Himself at His first coming could not accomplish, what the glorious preaching of the gospel by the apostles themselves could not accomplish, what the witness to the truth by the church over the past 2,000 years could not accomplish, great tribulation is supposed to be able to accomplish in a few years, namely, the conversion to God of the majority of Jews, if not, all of the Jews. In fact, tribulation is not God's means of the conversion of sinners. Tribulation is not the power of God unto the creating of citizens of the kingdom of the forming of His kingdom. Tribulation chastises sinful believers, Hebrews 12 verse 3 through 17. Tribulation punishes and destroys ungodly unbelievers, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. Tribulation glorifies God by the willingness of godly saints to endure the most extreme suffering for the sake of their confession of Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 4 and 5. But it does not convert unbelieving sinners. The power of God unto salvation is the preaching of the gospel, Romans 1 verse 16. It was not tribulation that translated the Colossians, Gentiles, not Jews, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but the word of the truth, of the gospel, Colossians 1 verse 5 and 13. Nevertheless, premillennialism has the tribulation under Antichrist accomplishing the conversion of multitudes of unbelieving Jews, and, thus, the re-establishment of the Jews as the kingdom of God. To be continued.